Hey everyone, welcome back to the Market or Pitch podcast, season 2. This is volume 19. We're almost at 20 episodes. That's kind of hard to believe. I'm one half of your host, Corey Davis, and I'm joined by the best co-host, Yesenia Reynoso.
Hello, Market or Pitch family. Welcome to episode 7, aka volume 19, aka the second half premiere of Market or Pitch. And I could have not done this podcast without a tremendously better friend and co-host, Corey Davis.
I was going to say, since we're continuing the AKA, this is also not only welcome back everyone from our hiatus, but this is an AKA sports centered episode, one of hopefully many to have in the future. But this episode, as we all know, is all about Olympics, all about Super Bowl. I'll get into that later, but I really just wanted to welcome everyone back from our hiatus. If you haven't, we have 18 previous episodes total. We also have 6 previous episodes from season 2. Please go back and listen, download the podcast, tell your friends about it. We're also not in the United States, we're global. So hello to our listeners elsewhere. If you're in Germany, Netherlands, Europe, definitely send us any comments for any topics from marketing or public relations standpoint you want us to talk about in your regions. But I just want to thank everyone for the support thus far and looking forward to a great half of second part of season 2.
Wow, Corey, you breezed through those housekeeping items like a pro. I am so proud of you. And I'm using the sports lingo since it is indeed sports mania. I've been wanting to do an episode that is strictly about sports for quite some time. And I am so ecstatic. As you said, the first of many. In addition to adding to those housekeeping items, we also have 3 episodes from the intermission series, Marketer Pitch Freestyle, which are available exclusively on Spotify and YouTube. We also have our YouTube page at Marketer Pitch. So please search us, subscribe, hit that button. You really want to, you know, make sure you stay on top of all that content. And we're also available live on Thursday mornings, I should say, on the Helium Radio Network. And we're also part of the Wisdom community, which we are hoping, we're creating plans as we speak to figure out what we can do to really integrate ourselves into the Wisdom community, you know, to also make this podcast interactive. But as Corey mentioned, I'm also so excited to be back here after our winter hiatus. There are so many things that are happening right now in the Market or Pitch universe. And I just want to say my greetings to our listeners here in the United States and abroad as well. We are so happy that you are a part of this journey. And we are definitely looking forward to adding that PR marketing spin.
Yeah. And I just want to say, I'll be remiss to say that not only is our episode Super Bowl theme and sports theme, but this is Black History Month here in the United States. So I definitely wanted to acknowledge it, especially as an African-American male. I want to acknowledge that month and just thank not only my ancestors, but thank America should be thankful of just the many Black pioneers that we've had in this country so far to date. And essentially, I know that the founding fathers like George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, et cetera, get the credit for it. But really, Black Americans have been the backbone of this country. And without Black Americans coming and being enslaved, unfortunately enslaved, since the 1600s, America would not be where it's at today. So I definitely want to acknowledge Black History Month. So we're not talking about specific issues with Black history in particular, but I have a couple of hot topics regarding, like usual, around racism and the communications around it between a couple of different leagues, sports leagues in particular.
Thank you, my friend, for echoing those sentiments. I too also want to express my acknowledgement, the celebration and honor of the Black community for their tremendous accomplishments and impact that they have certainly done. I think that you know, we definitely all agree that that Black Americans left their mark on this country. They are one of the
continue
most
to
And continue, yes, absolutely. Continue to leave their impact and mark in the most impactful way. And we can certainly say that their voices matter, and their voices will and influence will continue to lead and pave the way for a better future. So let's take this time to acknowledge all of the Black creators, the marketers, the PR pros, the content creators, and everybody that that the Black community has such across all industries. Your impact will forever and continue to be such a vital force in a positive manner for our country. Thank you.
Yes, you said that perfectly. So I know we had a long intro, but I want to get straight into this because we don't have much time today. So for our normal listeners, they're familiar with our season 2 format of appetizer, which is just the hot topic or news of the week that we kind of just want to debate and talk through. Then we move on to our entree segment, which as foodies, my favorite segment, where it's just our meat of the talk, our meat of the week. We want to focus on one key issue or one key topic that Yesenia and I have been kind of going back and forth on. And then if we have time, which we probably never do, we end on the dessert, where it's something that's different, whether it's questions or things like that. So I give that to give a little highlight for people who may be new, because today, our sports theme episode, we are doing something a little different. I'm going straight in for sports. So we're not doing appetizer, entree, and dessert. We're doing quarters. We're going to have a 4-quarter game, and we're going to have halftime. So if you're ready for this game, Yesenia, let's get into it.
Let's do it. I got my helmet. I got my uniform. I got my play call. Let's get into the game. It's game time.
Awesome. And actually, let's take a quick break before we get into the game. Thank you guys for joining us. Now let's get back into the game. So quarter one. One story I want to talk about really is the Olympics. And I know that everyone's talking about the Super Bowl. That was big. But one thing you probably haven't been talking about, specifically at the water cooler with your coworkers, is the Olympics. And believe it or not, if you're not familiar, the 2022 Olympics that are in Beijing, surprisingly Winter Olympics in Beijing, started 2 weeks ago. It has been marred in controversy just based on the issues going on in China right now between the human rights issues with the Uyghur Muslims and the possible genocide. There's also going on with COVID. COVID is still real. And just the way that the Chinese government is treating their citizens about how they're operating within COVID restrictions and how they're treating the Olympics athletes with COVID. And then also just fatigue. It's people are just not interested. And Yesenia and I know we talked about this last week. We're 6 months away from the last Olympics. When has there ever been Olympic ceremonies, two Olympic ceremonies within 6 months? So I think between all three of us, the fatigue, and this is actually, I think they announced a couple of days ago that so far to date, this has been the lowest rated Olympics broadcast in history. And to date, and probably it will end up being it once the Olympics is over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I just want to quickly point out there that there has been a lot of, even before the 2022 Winter Games were announced in Beijing and China, we knew right off the bat that this particular Olympics was going to be stirred in so much controversy because of the overwhelming amount of negative rhetoric that has been spewed across the Western media. Obviously, we have seen anti-China rhetoric that has been blown up in epic proportions across all Western media, specifically here in the United States with NBC's coverage. We're also dealing with a perfect storm of other types of controversies outside the Winter Olympics that includes the COVID-19 pandemic and the Olympic fatigue because the 2020 Summer Olympics were literally just happened 6 months ago. Many audiences, whether domestically or internationally, already have fatigue. They simply are no longer interested in the Olympics, and it pretty much shows based out of the ratings. I think it's also kind of interesting. Also, the the advertisement that has been put during these Winter Games as well, because I still feel that there is a messaging conflict in between the pandemic. Like, are we dealing with messaging that that still says that we are in a pandemic, or are we trying to shift course in terms of sentiment since everybody's now starting to realize that the pandemic is on its way to becoming an endemic? And so that also is that's also playing a tone to what brands want to present themselves and how to tiptoe that line when it comes to that, to that messaging front.
Yeah. And just bringing it back from a marketing and advertising perspective, just to add to what you were just saying, brands have been reluctant to actually even mention that they're going to advertise in the Super Bowl. So Procter & Gamble, everyone knows P&G, the product company, has been one of the biggest sponsors of the Olympics for years,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Across the summer and the Winter Olympics. But up until 2 weeks ago, they would not admit that if they were actually going to have an ad in the Super Bowl. They did. An ad came out actually with Khloe Kim. It's a pretty cool ad if you go back and look at them. Mm-hmm. But it came out with Khloe Kim and her dad about a few days ago. And they just released it with no fanfare. There was no big press release. It was kind of just released on the NBC broadcast and on their social media channels. But because of, like you said, what's going on in China, mostly stemming from the geopolitical areas and the fatigue, they call it Tokyo fatigue, mm-hmm. from the Summer Olympics.
Yep.
A lot of brands don't know how to approach it because they're worried about, like, for instance, if P&G or Visa, these regal brands who advertise in the Olympics, they're worried about they're advertising these games in China, and then they're getting a backlash that they're advertising the Olympics games, which are going against a lot of the human rights issues going on in China. So a lot of brands have been quiet to see and not make a big deal out of it. So very interesting, like you just said, the communication has been different. So while brands are in it in some capacity, they're not really proud of it. And it's kind of seems like they're just being forced to do it. So I'm very curious to learn how other brands are going to react to it, because you haven't seen that much communication coming out of these games.
Yeah. I mean, on top of the messaging conflict and confusion that we've been seeing, I also want to point out the sentiment in regards to the actual broadcast itself, aka NBC. I'm sorry, I'm going to be pointedly blunt here, but their entire coverage of the Winter Games has been nothing short of putrid. It really is putrid. I have never, in my years of watching the Olympics, I have never seen such negative sentiment, negative content, and such negative narrative that is spewing very deep from NBC. And that is tremendously disappointing to see. And it's also a reflective of the society and the environment that we're living in. Because it's so toxic right now, and everything, it is so narrative and propaganda based, that anything that goes against the narrative, you're going to get smeared and or shut out of society basically. And so there have been moments throughout the coverage, and I've been disappointed with how NBC has taken it. I've also been disappointed in, if you look a little bit deeper within their coverage, how they have been portraying the athletes. Especially we've also seen negative sentiment towards American athletes who are playing, who are representing the countries of their heritage, especially American athletes who are playing for China. I think and that is also something that, that needs to be taken into account. And also athletes who are being overwhelmingly pressured to perform well, and they literally bucker down due to the overwhelming amount of stress, and how the network just single-handedly just continuously elaborate on their failures instead of giving them a time out and just letting them breathe. And so a quick instance will be Michaela Schifrin, the Alpa skier, who is one of the most decorated U.S. Winter Olympians. The first two events that she did, both her signature events, She skied off of the course within like 5 to 7 gates, and NBC, instead of giving her, the you know, the leeway to back off, they kept honing in on her every single time when she was breaking down and crying. At one point, she was literally after, you know, after she skied out of her second signature event, in the qualifying rounds, like, she was crunched up, like, next near the snow, sitting down. They kept pouncing in on her, and all I keep thinking is, have you not learned from what happened with Simone Biles during the 2020 Tokyo Games, where Simone basically had a mental health breakdown and needed to step away because of the overwhelming amount of pressure? Have we, you know, are we still basically handling societal issues such as mental health? Do we continue with the stigma and not being able to normalize conversations and continue to put our athletes and our people down because they're, you know, they're experiencing a mental health situation? We need to do better than this.
Definitely. And I will say, I want to put a cap on that to move on to our second quarter. That went a little longer than I expected. So we'll promise to, you know, to be a little more lean as we continue through the rest of the game.
Yep.
So going to the second quarter, I want to talk about the Super Bowl. And congratulations to the Los Angeles Rams for a nice victory over the Bengals. The Rams, they eked one out in the last couple of minutes. They beat the Bengals 23-20. It was a great game. Stafford versus Burrow. Sean McVay is the youngest coach ever to win a Super Bowl. So there's a lot of good highlights and a lot of good. I feel like a lot of good wins that happened during last night, this week during the game. But what's your positive on the Super Bowl? I actually enjoyed it. I think it was a good game. It was two teams. I didn't hate either team. I think a lot of Americans agreed with that as well. There was no Brady in there. There was no team that a lot of people don't like. It was two great teams with two good storylines. And even though, as myself living in Los Angeles, I'm not a Rams fan, but I was fine with either team winning. And the Rams eked one out. They actually got it. It was great seeing, you know, Cooper Kupp, and Sam Darnold actually – you know, get their comeuppance. And actually, Matthew Stafford, been in the league for over a decade now and finally got transferred out of Detroit. He's been there, a Regal quarterback, and got to the Rams and won the Super Bowl. You couldn't ask for a better Cinderella story. So I definitely feel like it was a good show, and there are some good ads. So just overall, what's your opinion of the game? And just what opinions of any of the ads or anything?
Well, I'm not a football person, but whenever there's the Super Bowl, it's kind of like, you know, the big event of the year, and so I have to watch it. Overall, it was a good solid game. I actually enjoyed it. It was actually pretty close. Both teams were highly competitive. There was a lot of strategy input into it. Both of them were going back and forth. Both teams did a marvelous job in the end. Congrats to the Los Angeles Rams for winning the Super Bowl. They did an outstanding job. Obviously, there were some questionable penalties and and play tactics, but overall, you can't really complain about the game. The game was nice. It was a fast pace, and it was one of the more better games, I should say, that, you know, I've watched. In regards to the commercials itself, there were some really good, funny commercials. Some of them, you know, that really captured attention. Others, of course, did not. But definitely, there were two I want to quickly point out. One was the Coinbase commercial, where they had that QR code popping out of the TV. I thought that was unorthodox, to say the least, and it definitely got people excited, like they were playing like some video game or something. And then the second one that I loved was the Kia commercial with the robo dog. I'm an animal lover, just seeing, you know, the dog running after the car, or maybe he might be after the human driving the car. And there was such a heartwarming story that, it kind of pulled the heartstrings in a positive way. The halftime show was really good. I say this was one of the more solid Super Bowls, in a while, Corey.
Yes. And the Coinbase is very interesting tactic. And I liked it just because as a marketer, you know, the Super Bowl spend is over $5 million for a 30-second ad. And I believe that ad was 60 seconds. So to spend $10 million on an ad, and on top of that, which is my biggest gripe about the ads this year, where they're very celebrity heavy. There are so many celebrities. Yeah. I just lost track of, like, what was that commercial? Or didn't I just see them on another ad? Because every commercial had too many celebrities.
Yeah.
So the fact that they had no celebrities, it was really just different. So I give them kudos to have one of probably the cheapest ad to ever produce. I have no production experience, but I can make that ad. So they had a great, you know, they had a great ad. And then also I would say, and just in just in the industry, coming out of Super Bowl, the Silverado, Chevrolet Silverado, mm-hmm. Sopranos ad, yeah, that was very highly regarded. And then as well as the Expedia ad. The Expedia mm-hmm. ad had Evan McGregor, I believe. Talking about just highlighting different, it was a 60-second ad. He highlighted different previous ads about the newest seltzer, the newest Bud Light, or the newest car. And the ad was, you know, he was adding commentary to those things where when you look back at the end of your life, you're never gonna be angry, or you're never gonna be sad that you didn't buy the latest car, you didn't buy the latest beer that was being advertised. But you will be sad about your lack of travel. And as a travel person, that resonated with me very, very heavily.
One couple of quick points before we close this quarter out. There was, on top of celebrities, there was a lot of heavy influencers throughout the majority of these commercials. So advertisers put a lot of investment in them. We also saw regional ads resonate across the United States. So if you're living in a particular part of the country, and if you saw an ad that was directly tailored to your specific region, it resonated with you. Obviously, Crypto Media made its introduction in a mainstream matter. So, again, props to Coinbase, who, you know, I say came up with an unorthodox commercial, and also streaming services. There were a lot of commercials with for streaming movies. And so I think that was a real eye opener, because we talked about the cinema industry doing its own 360 evolution with the recent changes that's going in the industry due to the COVID-19 pandemic. And so I thought it was really interesting that most of the movie trailers that we saw were from major streaming services like Amazon, Netflix, Hulu, and so forth.
I agree. And there's definitely more to come of that. I hate that we have to go into our halftime show now, but that was a great second quarter. Great first half between the Olympics and the Super Bowl. But there's more to come in the back half of our show. And let's take a little break. And we'll come back with the halftime.
Let's sing some graces, everyone. Halftime.
Okay, welcome back, everyone. Let's get into our halftime. And our halftime is very simple. I really just want to discuss what was your opinion of the halftime show? It was the first time that it has been a full-blown hip-hop, R&B, hip-hop halftime show. We had Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg. We had Eminem, Mary J. Blige, Kendrick Lamar with a surprise appearance by 50 Cent. Did you like it? Didn't like it? What's just your opinion of it?
I was nodding my head in agreement. So that tells you right there that I was digging the halftime show. It definitely brought the 90s child out of me, seeing hip-hop and rap just come together. And it was so LA, you know, seeing all those, you know, hip hop and rap legends come together on the one roof and, you know, just performing all of their top hits. And, you know, it brought back the 90s with me. And that old school music, it touched my heart. And it was great that also Kendrick Lamar added, even though he's more for like the 2010s decade. But he was the perfect fit. I thought out of all of the performers, he had the best
production. He did. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, he had it the best. But overall, there's nothing negative to say. It was definitely one of the better Supertime halftime shows I've seen in a while. And it definitely, to quickly point it out, this year's halftime show was such a huge hit. It shattered 2021 viewership numbers. So about 29 million U.S. households tune in to watch the Super Bowl, the 2022 Super Bowl halftime show. That's how popular. And it was definitely one of the top trends on social media. Everybody was commenting on it, mostly praise. So that tells you right there just how impactful and a huge hit this year's show was.
Yes, and all the memes that came out of it, especially the ones with 50 Cent.
Yeah.
And it was pretty hilarious to me.
Yeah. And Mary J. Blige literally just collapsing on the floor. Like,
I'm done.
Yeah, like a star. Yep. Men forever.
Yes. So, yep, that's our halftime show. Like I said, it's going to be very quick. We both agree it was a great show. And I don't know how they're going to top it next year.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Okay, but so dude, let's get straight into no more ads for the rest of the game because I want to get into our third and fourth quarters. But as I mentioned before, this episode is sports themed, but I do want to discuss just how race is tied into just everything, and particularly how race and communications out of the Olympics and the Super Bowl, and there's the NFL. So going to the quarter three, I do want to go back to the Olympics and talk about hot off the topics. This new issue coming out of the IOC with if you weren't familiar, so the IOC, which is the International Olympics Committee, they're the board that helps decide with location, help decide the rules, and kind of the organizational board. They are the ones who, if somebody is doping or things like that, they discover it and they'll decide whether an athlete can compete or not compete. Now they're modern controversy because Russia, who actually for the past two Olympics are have not competed as Russia because of their past multiple doping scandals. They're called the ROC, which is just the Russian athletes competing against a body that's not officially the Russian government. I know it sounds funny, but that's what it is. But this past week, there was a Russian skater named, she's 15, named Kamila Valieva. I may got her name wrong, but Kamila was tested positive for a drug that kind of elevates your heart levels, which can enhance your performance and allow you to heal quicker. So she was tested positive, and normally that would mean it's the end of her career. Most in past history, if you're positive, you're out. It just come out just this week. It's coming out that the IOC said because she was a minor and dealing with a lot of family issues, she can stay in. And now the controversy and the communications, I'm curious to see how it's going to play out over the next few weeks, is that Sha'Carri Richardson, if we all remember, I think we talked about it
Well, yes, we did.
in our summer breakout series, Mark or Pitch. Side note, go watch those because they were still relevant and good.
Oh, yeah.
Sha'Carri Richardson, we all know, tested positive for marijuana use. Her mother just passed away. She said she was stressed out. She ended up taking marijuana. And she was a top Olympic athlete, and she got banned from the Olympics because of that issue. She could have been a gold medalist winner, but she said the rules are the rules. The IOC says even though that marijuana does in no way enhances your performance, a rule's a rule. You can't compete. Now it's coming to play with Sha'Carri Richardson and starting to question that and publicly. What difference was Sha'Carri Richardson from Camila, the Russian athlete? Because from my perspective, the only difference is Camila actually had a drug in her system that made her perform better, whereas Sha'Carri actually had a drug that actually inhibited her performance. So I think you're going to start seeing how race, so a lot of times these conversations about race have been insular to the United States. A lot of, and it's just because of the Black population in the United States, a little more advanced, and the history between how race has been treated in this country. And racism has been a foundation of this country, in my opinion, where you have seen a lot of race issues brought to light and talked about in the media. Now this issue is going worldwide, especially with the Olympics committee. I'm wondering how are they going to react to this? Because you're also seeing Nigerian athletes saying they were banned for the summer Olympics because of they didn't take enough tests, and Olympics said that it was too risky, so they banned a lot of the athletes. So now I'm curious to say, what's going to be communication and what's how the Olympics community is going to respond to calls of racism? Because it's a very serious issue, I think, and something that could really affect the next games in the next 2 years in Paris.
Oh, I think we have really, seen the hypocrisy of the IOC when it comes to this issue. If you're gonna ban some, if you're gonna ban someone who tested positive for marijuana, and then on the opposite end of the spectrum, you're going to allow a skater who tested positive for a known substance, by the way, which is banned by IOC protocols, and she still gets to compete. That tells you right there. The hypocrisy and the two-sided flip coin that the IOC is playing with. So Also on top of that, there was also the South African runner. I forgot her name, but there was also controversy with her that she was banned from the Olympics representing South Africa because she also took a hormone prescription.
Yes. Yep. I remember that.
She told the IOC that she needed to take that. She had the proper paperwork and all that, and they still banned her. So that tells you right there that you know that racial discrimination and bias still runs very deep, not only within the IOC but across all of sports. And for those you know who want to be thinking that this situation is different, so the 15-year-old in question is as Corey mentioned, Camila Vallea. She became the first woman in Olympic history to hit two quads ever. And she's also the gold medal favorite to win this year for the women's figure skating competition. But she's only 15 years old. So the blame should squarely go to the trainer who we've already been hearing stories of really severe training and questionable procedures with their athletes. So perhaps maybe she was taking this drug without not even realizing that this was already banned. So the blame goes to the trainers and to the adults who are teaching this girl to insert some kind of chemicals into her system. But quickly to the bigger picture here, it's becoming abundantly clear that the IOC still today has had major issues when it comes to talking about race. It still very much views things from a one-sided pedestal, giving favoritism to white athletes over black athletes, which is definitely not acceptable in the 21st century. It has become abundantly clear the bias that the IOC has towards black athletes, and how now today in our society, where race is yet again being such a central focal point in our society, and we continue to pull this kind of pervasive action, do you think now that athletes of color are going to sit quiet and allow this hypocrisy to run supreme? Absolutely not. And so this kind of behavior makes you question the IOC's motives, and have they done anything whatsoever to improve their overall systems to make sure that the games are much more equitable so that athletes can compete as fairly as possible?
Yes, so we'll put a button on that. This is very, I wanted to get this conversation started because it's breaking news, and I think you're going to see a lot more communications coming out around this over the next few days. So definitely let's put a pin on it, and let's get to our last quarter. In quarter four, which I call it, let's say quarter four part one, because in a later episode, I want to really get into the meat of this. But going back to the NFL, and kind of like how I was playing back and forth, Olympics, NFL, and the Super Bowl. Now the Super Bowl season is over with. The end of the season is ending with this Brian Flores lawsuit that's looming over the NFL and football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know that if people are not familiar, Brian Flores was a Miami Dolphins head coach. He was dismissed back in December for unjust cause, even though over his tenure, he actually has a winning season. He was dismissed, and he filed a lawsuit in last month in January 2022 alleging racism from the NFL. And his two big key issues was, one, the violation of the Rooney Rule, which the Rooney Rule requires NFL owners to interview at least one or few black coaches when they're deciding who their next head coach. He said that they violated the Rooney Rule because they interviewed him in name only. They had no He has proof that they had no desire to actually hire him. And his allegedly what he's saying is that they just did it to make the requirement for the Rooney Rule. And then the second part he alleges is that the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross, actually told him that he would give him $100,000 for every game that he deliberately tanks or loses. So Brian Flores before he got fired, was only one of two head coaches. Everyone knows that Mike Tomlin and the Steelers, the longtime Steelers coach, has been the only black head coach this year. But there's been very limited black head coaches. So when he did this lawsuit, it was very telling for a league to be 70% black to only have one black head coach. Now, since the lawsuit, there's been Lovie Smith, who's, he has a Texans job, and there's another head coach that's half black, half white, that's been hired. So the NFL is saying that all these allegations are false. They're not a racist organization. But I just noticed after this lawsuit, they continue to hire people. And it kind of just brings me to just my opinion on the NFL overall. And you kind of see this in their communications, and you see this in their marketing. Where if you look on the field, like last night on the end zone, you saw hashtag in racism. You look at football player's helmet, you'll see hashtag, you know, stop hate. So you see all these goodwill initiatives that the NFL loves to promote and communicate. Of course, they had black talent being the halftime show outside of Eminem, the national anthem, America the Beautiful, some of the other pregame ceremonies were all black entertainers and talent. So they love, so the communications from a black perspective is they love to promote equality and equity on the face, but on the surface, behind the scenes, between the owners and between the coaches, there's a long list of racism that's deeply rooted that needs to be brought to the forefront. Because I think the NFL is going to a standpoint where brands and people are going to start taking note on their actual actions. And just because you say you promote diversity and inclusion, just because you say you hire, you know, you have an all hip hop scene and you partner with Jay-Z, just because you say you have a lot of black athletes, what are you actually doing for the community? What are you actually doing to put yourself forward? So I want to get your initial thoughts on it, but I definitely think as time goes on, the NFL really just needs to address the racism going on internally.
Yeah, just a quick, you know, initial thought about this. Consider this for all brands as a cautionary tale. This is what happens when you put performative, reactive action towards real, impactful, direct action. And the NFL has been caught red-handed. It definitely has demonstrated that they, through performative action, they say that they are tackling the issue of race, discriminatory bias, and issues that surround the black community. But behind the scenes, they have not done absolutely nothing to create meaningful, impactful change to their entire system overall. And so look at the marketing, you look at the communications, just as to how they, you know, how they approached it. It's become abundantly clear that this is an issue that has been plaguing the NFL and is going to continue to plague the NFL until they legitimately do something concrete about it, which as of right now, with the owners being squarely responsible with all of these shellackings, I think it needs to be blown up in their face in order and to really expose the rotten core of what the NFL has done in order to bring real change in a system that is about their players are 70% black, and there are only three black coaches and seven black general managers and zero black owners. Tell me that that's not a problem, because it is.
And it's ridiculous. And I will say, so the Denver Broncos owner, they're going through a sale right now. So they are two, Bob Johnson, who used to own BET and also used to own the Charlotte Bobcats or the Charlotte Bobcats, Hornets. Yeah. Or Charlotte Hornets. And Byron Allen, who's the owner of Entertainment Studios, which is a TV network. He also owns a Weather Channel. Mm-hmm. So they're in the running to do it, which, like I said, like you just said, is very reactionary. Wouldn't be shocked if they give the two black guys the ownership job. So that way they say, okay, we gave you the ownership job, so everything's solved.
Yep, exactly.
But I want to spend another podcast actually going more into this, because I know we can't talk about it in one quarter. But there are steps that the NFL can actually start taking to deal with some of their deep-rooted racism. But in order to do that, they're going to have to expose the ugliness. And the ugliness is the current owners, Jerry Jones, I'm naming names, Dan Snyder, I'm naming names, like Stephen Ross out of Miami. There's a few owners out there that had a dark history and do not want this information and a lot of this data out, because there's a possibility they could be run out of town or stripped of their ownership status.
Oh, this is only the beginning, Corey. I think we're really going to go into the knee deep rotten core of what's been happening with the, you know, with all of the, you know, with all of the racism that's been buried deep in the NFL. I know we have to wrap it up, but quickly, just want to, I think I heard reports today that the Miami Dolphins owner, Stephen Ross. I think they found reports that that does indeed confirm that he did. Wanted to pay, did offer to pay Brian Flores $100,000 to drop the games. And so watch out for that space, because if that is indeed the case, then don't be surprised that that the owners are going to start pushing Ross out of this game, just like the way the NBA did with Donald Sterling. So keep an eye on that. We'll definitely touch base on this because there's so much to talk about.
Yes, and I will say to that point, because I did see that communication about Stephen Ross. But as you know, it's I call it the House of Cards. And unlike Donald Sterling, who they actually had voicemails from, and it was a very isolated incident, mm-hmm. I fear kind of like what's going on with the Washington Commanders owner, Dan Snyder, and his sexual mm-hmm. assault allegations. As you bring down one, and the rest of them will start speaking. If Stephen Ross says, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to bring Jerry Jones down. I'm going to bring Dan Snyder down. I'm going to bring the NFL down. So I think they're all kind of worried, because they know if once somebody stripped, you're going to see two or three more stripped. So to that point, I'll leave it at that. Hot topic. This is a long one, long game. This is very productive. You know, Yesenia and I just miss you guys and miss you guys talking in a podcast format. So we're so happy that you guys are back for our second half of our season two. And just continue for seeing episode 20, our 20th episode, in the next couple of weeks. So other than that, Yesenia, before we go off, I know we have a little time. Quick word, any final words for our people?
Well, I just want to say thank you also very much to listening to our episode, Sports Mania. There's definitely a lot of topics, and there's still some topics that definitely we're going to be touching base on. One of them, spoiler alert for next week's episode, we're going to be talking about the MLB lockout, which is one topic that as a baseball fan has touched my heart in the worst possible way, in the worst way possible. But we'll get to that in the next episode. As Corey mentioned, due to time constraints, our next episode, aka Volume 20, Episode 8, will not come out until the week of March 7th. So keep an eye on our social media channels. If you haven't done so, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Marketer Pitch. And also don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe, especially the subscribe part. I can't emphasize that enough, to all of Marketer Pitch content, so that you are up to date with everything that is happening in our world. And don't forget to follow us on the Wisdom app. We will be announcing plans as to what we're going to be doing in that platform soon enough. And finally, if you haven't yet, Marketer Pitch is available live on all major podcasting mediums, YouTube, and it airs at Thursday mornings at 6:30 a.m. on the Helium Radio Network. So thank you everybody for tuning in to episode 7, aka Volume 19. And it is good to be back. The six episodes down, six more to go.
Yes. So I'll see everyone back here in March. And until then, be blessed, stay safe, and have a great day. Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone. Till then.